only on Nintendo Ultra 64.
Yeah, there are vanilla notes, notes of vanilla. It's not really with like a harsher bourbon or like with like a Buffalo Trace or something.
Yeah,
I would really say
burn.
I would really say that this is not leathery. When people describe something as leathery, this is...
When you describe something as leathery?
It's the flavor I can fucking find, man. That's why, like, when I'm drinking something, I mean, it's either leathery or not leathery. Because, like, that's a fucking flavor I understand.
This water is way too leathery.
I'm not really... Oh, man, so we had,
I know leathery and grainy. Those are the two that I can get.
Notes of blackberry. I'm John Anderson.
I'm Fred Earhart.
And you are listening to episode 64 of the Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast.
The Ocho.
I knew it was coming, so it wasn't, you know.
You know what? This is our new, I like this format for our open. We haven't been able to settle.
Yeah, I think we've settled. I think we've got it. And we could switch this off pretty easily.
I know,
so you
but
can
I'll
do
screw it up.
I can do it. You don't fuck it up.
Okay. I'm Fred Earhart.
I'm Fred Earhart.
And podcast, listen to
podcasting.
You.
Podcasting. What do you say sometimes? And you are listening to I can't remember the Hood Fantastic. yeah, but
you're listening to Skeeter and the Nooch. That joke will always be funny. Skeeter and the Gooch.
We're not doing that again.
Okay.
I'm giving you your structured show.
Yeah, and you're brimming with positivity today. I think it's because of the structure.
Also, that you're editing it, like, be honest, like, I really like editing it because I like to put in the music I put in.
Right.
But, you know, gotta do stuff sometimes.
You already told me a lot of the songs I have to put in, though.
What was that song? What did I tell you had to put in?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, you have to put in Pennsylvania by the Blood Hot Gang. Like, probably right now.
Oh, dude. We had a realization today.
Dude. You sound like you're in a skit.
Okay. We had a realization today.
That song is entirely accurate.
Yeah, well, as well. We were talking about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you know the Pepe Sylvia bit?
Is it from the last three seasons? Because I've
probably
way
the one where they get the job in the mailroom and he can't.
Oh
figure
yeah,
out
yeah,
who,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who Pepe Sylvia is?
Yeah.
We figured out that Pepe Sylvia is him misreading Pennsylvania.
That is a layer of deep.
I know, right? It's whew.
God. Yeah, no, that you know, I know we have like two Pennsylvania listeners, and I apologize, but that song is pretty accurate. I told you I went to Pennsylvania. That was a couple weekends ago.
I figured that was a catalyst for it.
I went to Dave & Buster's in Philadelphia, which used to be my favorite place in Philadelphia, which, hold on, is not anymore. The thing I loved about it, they had this trivia video game in the corner, and I rock at trivia, so I would just, like, go there and whoop up on people. And you know how, like, I'm a really gracious winner?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So I would just, like, you know, really graciously win. And okay. So maybe sometime, like, a bunch of my fraternity brothers had to, like, come over and, you know, stand around me because I was calling people fucking Eagles fan trash.
I'm like,
you're a bunch of South Jersey garbage bins, you know?
Yeah, you know, calling Eagles fans trash is not usually the smartest thing.
What is that rapper you sent me? It's Lil Dicky.
Lil Dicky?
He's South Jersey.
No, he's California.
Are you sure? I thought he was, like, from South Jersey.
I don't know. All his videos are in, like, San Francisco.
I don't know. I was under the impression he was from South Jersey.
He's awesome. He's going into the show, I think.
Yeah.
The music episode.
Yeah. So, I guess, you want to do a rundown, I guess?
Let's do a rundown, John.
So, we are going to do...
We have a properly formatted Consumption Junction.
Followed by the Hype Boner Nanza. It's back.
It's back. Followed by Game Club
for Duke
Nukem.
Yeah, and then you know, outro community segment. We're not doing a discussion topic.
No, we're not going to do one this week. We're going to bring that back in one of the coming episodes. Like we used to have really actually kind of riveting discussions.
You know, well, riveting to us. I really do think we should bring it back because I think there's a lot of, you know, we don't need to talk about industry stuff. I'd really like to talk about more. Some more, like, people issues.
Sure.
Social issues as they come around games. But
I think that sounds swell.
What do you think we should do now?
I think we should take a break.
We are Cob Rock, we are Screech, we are Z Cavarici, we are Laser Reboot, Tasmanian Devil Tattoos. We are Third String, we are Pop, we are Special People's Club, we are the Half Shirts with Irreverent Spring Break Top 10 List.
So what did we play this week, John?
I played one thing that's... We both played one thing each that's new and relevant.
Yeah. You wanna hit me up here?
I'll go first, all right? Starkman.
I don't really know what this is.
Okay, so Starkman is a... It's Kickstarter, right? And it's Kickstarter from, like, 2011. So it's pretty, like... You know, it's one of those... It's one of...
It's like
not the early ones. Yes, but it was kind of like a rocky thing because they sort of set up the goals, like, a little too ambitiously.
Okay.
Like, they were like, well, you pay $20 and you'll get the game and a t-shirt, and then they, you know, after the... That's going to cost them $17 to send out.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to... How is this funding your fucking game?
They were Kickstarter pioneers is what they were.
They were, yeah. They were the early... They acknowledged that they made a horrible mistake.
They were the cows with mad cow disease that they sent out over the minefields.
I forget if these guys are New York or California, because I know I have... Like, they're some of them are friends of friends or whatever. So Star Command is... Basically, it's an isometric pixel art starship management game. Think along the lines of, like, a retail... like one of these like three-quarter view retail management, like from like or economy management, I should say, like Kairosoft makes, like Game Dev Story or Hot Spring Story, sure, or sure. Race Car Story or Game Store Story or whatever.
Story
games. It's like the Kairosoft story games, except that you know, it's Star Trek-y. Like your tactical guys get red uniforms, your, you know, engineers get gold, so obviously next generation, your science guys get blue, and you know, you explore the universe, but the thing is, you don't explore the universe. What you do is you fight stuff, and that, I mean, I'm a couple hours in, and everything I've been in has been a combat situation.
Sure.
Either, like, people beaming above your ship and you have to fight them, or, like, you fighting another ship, and, like...
Almost sounds like XCOM in space, right? Like,
no, because it's real time.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've been really putting off playing FTL for a tablet version. Like, I want to play this game so bad, and I want to play it on my iPad. I don't want to play it on my computer.
Right.
Maybe I'll, like, put it on my laptop and play it on my flight, because I've been wanting to play it for a long time. This, I thought I would really like, and I really want to like it, because it's got, like, a great art style, and, like, I love fucking Star Trek, dude. And, like, I love, you know, pixel art I'm getting a little sick of, but...
Just a wee bit, right?
But, you know, like, this sort of Star Trek element, some of the cutesy things, like, when you hire crew members, they come with a name already. You know, it's there's some cool stuff there. It just seems like the gameplay mechanic is combat. And the combat's not fun.
Okay.
And... Like, that's not what I want from Star Trek. Like, Mass Effect is the best Star Trek game. Because, yeah, it's got combat, but it's also got exploring and doing, like, fucking, what do you call that, where you're negotiating with people and,
right.
And, you know, being diplomatic and shit like that. And that's kind of what I want. Like, I want, like, Star Trek the 25th Anniversary Edition, like, the PC game. Do you remember that game?
Yes.
Yes, that game is fucking awesome. So I want something like that, and I don't want this. So that is, I mean, it's $3. I think you should play it if you have an iPad. Do not, under no circumstance, should you play this on your iPhone, because you will have a horrible, you're going to have a bad time.
You know, we should, now that we've mentioned it, we should talk about, maybe on another episode, why combat always seems to be like 99% of games.
Yeah.
It's all about just fighting. Like, and that was always, like, even Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that I played back in the day, right? They're all about eventual combat. All the stats are geared towards combat. There's very few non-combat things.
It's because it's easy. It's a cop-out.
Yeah. And it's, you know what? It's getting better, I think. I think more games are branching out into more interesting things. Like, we've played a couple of games recently that have absolutely no combat in them whatsoever.
We played Home, right? That's what was the name of that side-scrolly horror game?
Home. We played The Room.
The Room, we played fucking Miasmata.
Arguably Amnesia.
Yeah, I mean, there's no combat.
Yeah, per se. I mean, it's puzzle solving and...
And avoiding, you know, yeah. I think it's because it's easy. Like, writing, like, detailed systems on how to fucking negotiate with something is super hard.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, shooting...
And it's also short.
Yeah.
Like, a combat situation can be different every time you go into it, but, like, a negotiation thing, like, unless it's scripted amazingly, like...
Well, yeah, it's really hard to make that a system, right?
Yeah.
You have to write every possible outcome.
All right, we're gonna save this for another episode. This would be a good one.
Yeah, sure, but alas, I, you know, for $3, though, like, why the fuck not? Like, sure. I'm still gonna play some more of this, but it's, you know, like... Could have been something I would really care for.
You know, speaking of combat, I've got some fighting of my own I'm doing.
What are you fighting?
Blood dragons.
Nice. Have you actually seen one?
No. I downloaded and played Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And it kind of came out of nowhere to me. I wasn't really paying attention to it. And then the day it came up, it was there on Steam. And someone had mentioned it earlier in the day. I think you actually mentioned it. And I was like, you know what? For $15, I can give this a goddamn whirl, because I feel like it's going to be shorter than a full Far Cry game, and certainly it seems like it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is, it's a retro throwback to 80s action, or even late 70s action movies, with a lot of, like...
Well, Michael Biehn is the protagonist, right?
Yes. And
Kyle Reese,
yeah.
Also... I've done this shtick before on the show where he played Navy SEAL in Navy SEALs.
He's also what's his name? He was a guy in Terminator.
He's Dutch.
Hicks.
Wait, Dutch is Bill Paxton.
Game over, man.
I fucked that up on purpose just so I could say that.
Yeah, I know. So it's
say we take off and nuke him from orbit
when we when we get
I'll into, teach them
when
dragons.
we get in the game club. I'm going to come back to this game, but. It's trying to do sort of like a kitschy throwback 80s thing using the Far Cry engine. So the gameplay is pretty competent. The first couple of...
Far Cry is eminently playable.
Yeah, the combat seems solid. Now, this game does not seem to have the open world elements that a Far Cry has. Does
really?
That make sense?
Yeah, no, are you sure?
It's fairly linear.
No.
At least so far.
How far are you?
I played past like the first story mission and a half.
Okay, you gotta go deeper.
Now, the levels themselves play out differently. They're pretty open environments as far as the levels, but, like, you're still... Like, if the goal is to infiltrate the military base, yeah, you can go a couple ways, you can stealth your way through it, or you can shoot your way through it, but you're still going through the military base.
Uh-huh.
The combat is pretty rewarding. Like, it does feel good, and it does feel tactical and fairly difficult, I would say. I'm playing on, like, the normal difficulty. I didn't put it on easy. The first... big combat mission I got into, I died maybe 6 times before I actually could get through.
Use the bow.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the bow yet.
Oh.
All the weapons you get are very, like, retro-futuristic.
Yeah, well, it takes place in 2007, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the first level I couldn't even get past until I figured out to go to, like, a sniper turret and just start picking off people.
All right.
But
I mean, that's interesting.
And the humor of the game is there. Like, the tutorial is the funniest fucking tutorial I've ever played in my life. Because it knows it's a tutorial, and it just starts harassing... It starts annoying you. Like, in the middle of combat, like, tutorial windows will come up and be like, if you'd like to dismiss this window, press enter. But, I mean, that's only for the beginning of the part of the game, but it's pretty funny. And there's a sort of like an AI that speaks to you throughout the game, which starts getting GLaDOS-y after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good.
I wonder if our friend CJ worked on this at all.
I don't know. We should ask him.
Yeah, fuck him.
But anyway, it's a pretty fun game. I don't know that the whole retro thing really clicks with me. The cinema
is really weird because I text you and I said, Fred, Blood Dragon, I think this is a Fred Earhart game. Because like, after you loved Evoland so much, I thought you were looking for something like this.
I think Evoland was actually a little better in its execution, because it played off of game mechanics.
You didn't play the fucking Mac version.
Well, it played off of game mechanics. Well, this is still just Far Cry 3, but with stuff.
Far Cry 3, I found to be an eminently playable game.
Right.
You know, the more I think about the things problems I had with that game, like, I wish there was more Miasmata in my Far Cry.
Sure, I agree.
I also wish there was less bad story.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. This game has what seems to be a patently bad story with pretty poor acting, but intentionally so, because it's trying to be kitschy.
That's the thing, is you have to, I think when you're doing something like that, you have to walk a really fucking fine line.
Yeah,
right?
And there's moments where I think they don't do it well. There's moments where it does come off well, but there's other moments where you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of buddy cop moments right at the beginning that, like, just fall very flat, and there's, like, you know, there's, like, a bunch of gay jokes right up front.
Really?
Yeah. Not like, super offensive, but, like, they're there.
You know, there's something, like, there's something about these things, and, like, that fine line, like, what made these sort of things, these action movies, like, funny and ridiculous in the first place, is that they took themselves pretty fucking seriously.
Yeah, it's because they lacked the knowledge of what they were doing. Like, they didn't know they were doing it.
Yeah.
Like, go back and watch a couple of those the Rocky movies, even.
Oh,
they're good,
when they get
but
into the 80s, like, 3 and 4 are idiotic.
Yeah, that's my, like, that, and that's sort of, like, where we're, I mean, this game feels like it was modeled off of a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm specifically thinking of.
I watched a lot of direct to VHS, like, late 80s, early 90s action movies.
Right.
I don't know, because they were at the video store.
Well, there's also,
remember those folks?
Yeah. There's also a lot of, like, really just, like, cringeworthy tongue-in-cheek jokes in this game. Like, there's a character in this game that you meet very early on called Professor Darling. So, like, all the cat, like, the one of the guys is like, "Hey, darling," and she's like, "That's Dr. Darling," you know, stuff like that. Ugh. It's just like,
it's like the Brosnan Bond movies and its badness.
Yeah,
like,
actually, you know, that's actually a very good
comparison.
What
the fuck is, I think it got made fun of on something she was on, maybe, I forget what it was, but Denise Richards played a fucking nuclear scientist in a fucking James Bond movie, and her name, I think the last name was, her last name was Christmas or something, because then I think the sexual joke is that Christmas came early or some shit like that.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean. It's one of those,
like, fuck you.
Right after that joke, the Pierce Brosnan took off his sunglasses and they played that Who song.
Yeah. I think I actually want to go into the other room, take the latter three Brosnan Bond films out of my Blu-ray set and, like, snap them.
I never watched the two of them.
I'd loan them to you, but you don't have a Blu-ray player, you fucking hillbilly.
I don't want. But yeah,
you'll have one soon.
I've not dug too deep into Blood Dragon. I do plan on playing it some more over the week. I like the mechanics enough that I want to see if it gets better. I'm kind of hoping that once they get past all the obvious, like, here's a reference joke we have to make, that it'll start being a little bit more interesting.
Clicking?
Yeah,
just click with it.
It just doesn't click with me yet.
What weapons do you have so far? Because I understand that they are all from movies, like the pistol is RoboCop's pistol.
Yeah, but I don't think they call it that. But, like, yeah, like, the pistol is definitely RoboCop's. It has, like, blinking red lights on it and shit.
Yeah.
There's a couple other weapons. One of the bigger problems with the weapons in this game, you start the game fully armed, and then after an event, you lose all your weapons.
Metroid very much.
Yeah, that old chestnut.
Hey, or it could be like Symphony of the Night, Alucard.
But
God, I'm never doing that sound again.
The guns that you start out with, like, the pistol is obviously a pistol, the shotgun is obviously a shotgun, but then, like, the sniper rifle looks like a fucking bazooka.
Well, the shotgun is the shotgun from T2, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because, like, he does the animation. I actually think they call it the Galleria, like, the fucking mall that he uses that shotgun in.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I like stuff like that. I've rallied against.
Although, but here's the thing, like, for me, with first-person shooters, at least when I'm jumping into them like this, like, if the gun, like, the guns in Halo all look like what they do. Like, they're almost like onomatopoeia weapons. Like, I get that the needler shoots needles. I can see from the gun that it shoots needles. And I get that the plasma rifle shoots plasma. Like, I can see it. With this, a lot of the guns, I don't know how the hell they shoot. just by looking at them.
You should never play, what is that, Shoot Mania? Yeah.
You know what a cool mechanic in this game I liked is, though? With the sniper rifles, if you zoom in, you can actually hold your breath before you pull off a shot to steady your aim.
Yeah, I think that was in regular Far Cry 3.
Was it? Yeah, yeah. I figured as much, but that's kind of a cool mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty standard. Either that...
I don't play that many realistic shooters anyway.
I think... most games either do that or will have it just pretty steady.
But I don't like the automatic steadying. Like, you know, part of first person is, you know, the experience.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, man, I'm not really into first person shooters. Somebody at work was like, hey, John, you're into video games, right? Did you see the new Call of Duty trailer? I'm like, I'm going to fucking stab you if you don't walk away right now. I'm going to tell HR, real nice asshole, I thought you were a gamer.
I saw the new Call of Duty trailer. It was like every other Call of Duty trailer.
Yo, no, I've actually, like, somebody was like, oh, that's a pretty good trailer. I'm like, listen, go look at the fucking XCOM trailer. Like, that's a good live-action trailer.
Yeah. Borderlands one.
Yeah, we'll talk about some stuff in Hyper Bonanza about some fucking trailers.
Fucking trailer, actually.
Fucking, oh my god, I can't wait. I'm brimming with excitement.
So anyway, enough about Blood Dragon. John?
So I've been playing a couple older things.
Is this a title, or is this what you've been doing to yourself?
No, it's called Retro Game Challenge for DS. Okay. It's based on that, you know, that Japanese show, Game Center CX?
Yeah.
It's that.
Which is based on the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage?
No, it's not. But it's actually the Katso from that game is the main villain, sort of. Basically, you've time traveled to the mid-80s Japan, and you play video game from the time period, and you have to beat these certain challenges to progress through the games. It's very weird, very Japanese. It's published by XSEED.
Is this an English version of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The second one...
You didn't look like the import type.
Well, the second one hasn't been released here. I think I'm probably going to import it, and by that I mean I'm probably going to steal it off the internet. But, God.
Also works.
Yeah. But, you know, I really like it. But you're playing, like, period... They're recreations of period games, but they're actually, like... You could tell these would run on an NES or a Famicom for this.
Right.
Some of those games are really kind of hard.
Games used to be really hard.
Yeah.
Part of that is probably because of a lack of rigorous playtesting at the time.
Yeah.
Focus groups.
Well, I don't know. But it's fun, and it's very cute. And it's much like Pack and Jump, which I've also obviously been playing a lot of lately, like... When I get really close to my goal and then miss it, I catch myself like flipping out on the subway, like going fuck and then, like hitting the pole or something. Like just, I'm like, man, I gotta calm the fuck down. Oh, I got so close to beating one of my records in Pack and Jump today. Do you have the game?
No.
You should get Pack and Jump.
We've gone over this.
Game of the decade.
All right.
I've put 200 hours in Pack and Jump. Oh, man. And I played Cinemora again.
Yeah, so this is Hungarian developed?
Hungarian slash... Hungarian and Japan. Like, it's like Grasshopper... Somehow Grasshopper's involved.
Oh, great. So it's sexist.
Suda! It's a Suda joint!
Suda!
There is rape.
Is it really?
Yeah.
But it's anthropomorphic rape?
Anthropomorphic animals. Also, there's racism. And it's a side-scrolling shmup. Like an R-type style, or like UN UN Squadron style shmup.
It has its own unique mechanics, though, compared to some other shmups.
Yeah, you don't have a life bar. You have, if you get hit, your time clicks down.
Right.
It also has a time freeze mechanic. I was playing on my laptop, and like I cranked the settings to ultra, and there's just one setting, like, you know, medium, high, ultra, or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks really pretty, and it's like... It's something, like, it's basically like a mobile game, kind of. Like, I'll play it while I was, like, watching a baseball game or something.
Sure.
You know, I'll mute the game when the dialogue bits happen in the... Mute the baseball game when the dialogue bits happen in the video game. But, like, if that goes on sale again, like, I think I picked it up for $2 or $3.
Right.
Like, if you see that for, like, $5, like, pick that game up. It's pretty good.
It feels, I remember playing it a little bit, and it felt... I mean, maybe the initial levels felt a little clunky to me, but I heard that it does pace itself pretty well, like it picks up near the end.
Yeah, the demo, I didn't really like the demo, but I really do like the game.
Sure.
Because there's continues. But I also, I think this is on Vita. If it's on Vita and you own a Vita, you should buy this game.
Maybe that helps contribute to the reason to own a Vita. Nah, I'm kidding.
I don't know. I mean, I would like to play this portably. I think this is the kind of game I could play portably. The idea of moving out of New York and like having to drive during my commute is so terrifying.
Yeah, like, all your gaming's going to go out the
like,
door.
What am I going to do? I'm going to
you have to take the bus.
Dude, I'm going to drive and play Pack and Jump.
No, you're going to have to get a Google Glass.
And man, I hope they port that to Google Glass. Fuck Google Glass.
I know, it's useless. It's actually already, it's not even out yet, and people are already starting to hate it.
I don't know. I don't know. Forget it. We're sounding like crotchety old men.
Here on Tech Talk Weekly.
Hey, play the bumper.
You are listening
to Tech Talk Weekly on Fantastic Neighborhood. Touch the shark.
Ba-da-ba. That's SportsCenter bumper, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the only other thing I did this weekend, John, I actually went out and saw Iron Man 3.
I haven't seen it.
It's better than I thought it would be.
Better than Iron Man 2?
Yes, but that's not a very high bar. I'm still on the fence.
How is Ben Kingsley?
Oh, he's yeah, absolutely perfect.
Just chewing that fucking scenery like...
You have no idea. And I'm not going to tell you, but you have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know if I like this movie better than Iron Man 1.
Hmm. Iron Man 1, I think, is... You have to kind of be, like, a, you know, relativist about it. Like, man, we hadn't had a good comic book movie in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah.
This one, it's like, I definitely found some flaws...
Of course you did.
...with this movie. No, I don't... Like, I've never liked Gwyneth Paltrow.
I like her in these. Dude. I also liked her in Glee when I watched one season of Glee. So you're kind of like this guy. You're kind of like me in this regard. So I have a friend, right? And like she's going to go on a date with this dude, right? And I'm like, and she's there. I saw them talking or whatever. And I, you know, I walked up. I'm like, oh, that's a dude, right? You know, and she's like, yeah, he's cute, right? I'm like, yeah, yeah, he's pretty good looking. I'm like, did you notice he drags his feet? Like, I'm a bad person.
No, I don't, and I don't even want to go into what I didn't like about the movie, because I feel like that might take you out of it. It's definitely a little bit more blockbuster than it is storytelling.
No shit, it's fucking Iron Man.
No, but I mean, I feel like in Iron Man 1, like, it was
about heart.
It was big and explosion-y, but, like, it was still, like, there was a cohesive story, and it was about the Tony Stark character, and it wasn't about... special effects and as much as it was.
Well, Favreau's gone, right?
Well, Favreau's still in the movie, but he's not directing it anymore.
That's weird.
He's producing it.
Oh.
But the new guy, Shane Black, he did pretty good.
Cool.
I think. So it's definitely worth seeing. I saw it in 3D. Did not really care for the 3D. Like, it wasn't bad, but like it wasn't.
You're a hater.
It's cool.
Much. Haters gonna hate.
It just wasn't done cool. As big as it should have been.
It's fine, dude. Just keep hating.
Okay, I will.
Hater.
And but no, I definitely think it's definitely a hit more than it is a miss.
Cool.
John?
What's up?
I think we should come back for things we're excited about.
Hyper boner nana?
Hype train nana to boner?
Hype banana.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's your boy Lil Dicky, aka Mr. Leftward Sloping Penis. I got a story for y'all, man. Yes, sir. All right, let's go. Now I've been dating this girl named Katie. She hot as hell. Okay. And a body crazy, vagina shaving, and it don't smell. And I don't fall for chickens, but this one a little different. Body sickening, plus she really good at making ready chicken. Got me thinking she the one, man. Even fully close, shot it really fun, man. Get a lot of hoes, but none of those come close. I swear it's the most that I felt so damn exposed. Oh yeah, there's one more thing, and I know this shit gonna sound insane, but I still haven't hit it. I admit it. I wish I was kidding. Never been up inside before, because she's only fucked one guy before. No, I really wanna point this, or she my sweetie 3.14. So I'm staying patient and masturbating, and now my heart is sorta racing, cause she said tonight will be the night we do some fornicating. Hell yeah, I'm down, I'm about to go all out. I'm gonna pound that crazy like an elaborate black man handshake, but on the way to the crib we pass this kid, and he seemed to know who Katie is. So I say, who this? And she say, Dickie, this is my ex-boyfriend. And I ain't usually the one to be the jealous type, but as I'm looking at this dude, I can't believe my eyes, cause he's the best looking guy that I've seen in my whole life.
Welcome to Hype Banana. I think this is.
I can't even look at you with a straight face when you said that.
I think this is. You can never look at me with a straight face.
That's true.
I think this is like the logical next step was Hype Banana. Hype Boner Nanza. What did it start out as? Do we even
hype
remember?
Hype Bonanza.
Was it?
It was Hype Bonanza, and then it became Hype Boner Nanza, and then it became the Hype Train, and then it became Boner Train.
This is why we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah. God. Anyway, what is this? This is where we talk about things that we are excited for.
Don't call it news.
Because it's not.
Oh, man. It's not on here, but did you see that Take-Two Interactive announced their new president? Their COO is taking over?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I didn't even realize, but I checked my stock today and it shot up 75 fucking cents. And then I was like, what the fuck happened? So I looked for Take-Two News, new president. And apparently the market approves. Also, fuck, buy some Take-Two games, folks. Like, I'm not wavering on
well,
this.
Well, the Grand Theft Auto trailers have been coming out.
They look great. Go buy 8 copies of NBA 2K13 or 14, whatever the fuck's out right now. Yeah, man, Take-Two closed at fucking 16:22 today. Whew. Woo! Hype!
Anyway, so...
Your monitor's detected feedback.
Yes. John?
Yes?
The Wolfenstein trailer.
Holy shit, dude! Dun it.
Here's the thing. I liked it. I did.
Did you like it more after you talked to me?
No.
What?
I'm getting a little sick of the clockwork gear. Like we're coming out of the robot, like the Lionsgate Films opening or whatever that. You know.
So I would normally 100% agree with you, except, Wolfenstein, A.
Robo Nazis.
Mecha Nazis.
Yes.
B. Okay, my letter convention, fucking throw out the window, right? Here's what's got me excited, right? So, I'm watching it. I put it off all day. I was like, but I'd open the tab, and I'm like, I came back to it. I'm like, okay, I'm watching it. First minute and a half, I'm like, all right, the Nazis won World War II, and, you know, this is the 60s, and, yeah, it's horrible. We've got BJ Blazkowicz's stupid voice actor.
Oh, God, I forgot that was his name.
So, this is dumb. And then, I realized what the fucking music was, and it was All Along the Watchtower, the Hendrix version, and I'm like, holy shit.
You're holding out hopes for Spec Ops here, aren't you?
No, it's not, even if it's just pulpy goodness, there was something about the way that song hit, and then when, it clicked in my head, Vietnam, Nazi, Mecca, occult.
Although you realize if the Nazis had won, Jimi Hendrix would never be able to perform.
Fuck off. It's a song used in the trailer. And then, title card. They show the W logo or whatever, but then the title card hits, and it's Grindhouse style.
Yeah.
You know, it's that white, red, and black title card.
Lots of negative space.
Everything freezes, you know, it's very clean. And, you know, I gotta say, if the people working on the game were also involved in the art direction of the trailer, then I'm fucking really excited for it. You know, a lot of times that work gets farmed out. You know, we have Dead Island.
Yeah, oh boy.
But this, I know you're not that excited, but, you have to acknowledge that was a fucking dope trailer.
No, it was
because
a good trailer.
The things that come together towards the end where you're like, oh shit, really? Oh my god, this is rad!
I actually wish someone had shown me that trailer without ever having said, this is the new Wolfenstein. I wish I didn't know that until the very end when they show
Wolfenstein
it.
Wolfenstein detracts nothing from me. There's never been a...
No, I would... But
there's
I
never
would,
been a bad Wolfenstein
no,
game.
I know that. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying I would rather have not known that until, and then I could be like, oh shit, it's Wolfenstein! Oh shit, son! Oh
yeah,
shit!
Yeah. If they would have, the Phantom Limb or the Phantom Pain or
whatever
with this, I think that would have been really rad. There's another little nod that was really, really cool. So they pull back on the mechs and they show the guy standing there with the two guns out to his side.
Yep.
It was in the style of the box of the first game.
The first one, yeah.
You know, the old school, essentially first 3D first person shooter that had any success or whatever. I just was really really blown away by it. I was like, this looks fucking rad.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers on this one. I think the Wolfenstein games have always been pretty good.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So. I never played the one that came out in like, was it 09, 10, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, the reboot or whatever.
I think that was Raven Software. And Raven was such a great B-level studio. Like, they made Singularity, which I really loved.
Right.
I don't even know if they're probably just cranking out Call of Duty map packs now or something. But I think I have it. I bought it like $9 from Gamefly forever ago. I'm gonna play that.
Yeah, it might be worth going through, I think.
Man, I'm fucking rock solid for that fucking game. What else, John,
why are you excited for Ender's Game?
I'm not. Fuck that movie.
is that the Nick Cage one?
No. You've never read Ender's Game?
No.
By Orson Scott Card?
Orson Scott Card.
It's amazing.
Never read it because I heard what a nut job he is.
I will give... The thing is, I couldn't even read it again, I think. I have a copy, right, that I loved and I cherished as a middle schooler or whatever. The trailer came out for the film. They've been trying to make this movie for 20 fucking years. And it's just like, I can't get excited about it because of how horrible a person he is. And it's really weird. It comes down to one of those things of like separating the art from the artist. Like,
well, he was like an objectivist or whatever. He was like an Ayn Rand guy, right?
No, he's I'm not sure. He may be. He's got some weird things about the government, but his big thing is homophobia.
Oh, okay.
Which just, I don't know. Really bothers me. And here's the thing is like, I'm a huge Prince fan and he's a horrible human being, but there's something like, about, like, I could still love his music. This is not happening for me with this particular guy. I kind of want to go back and read it, but I just don't want to be spotted reading it.
I mean, this is like a Hollywood movie, though. I think anything that's overtly homophobic, I think they're going to take out.
Well, the book, at least if I remember correctly, there's nothing homophobic in the book, but he's such a horrible person.
Oh, it's just the guy.
Yeah. So
this isn't like reading Atlas Shrugged and then going like, what the fuck is this? It's like, you read it and you're like, oh, that's a good book. Let me look into the author. Yeah. Oh, he's an asshole.
Although if you go like, I read like a lot of his books and like, you know, thinking back, there are some weird racial themes going throughout and some of those books, the Ender series gets really weird. But to add to that, the trailer just wasn't that good. It's got Harrison Ford in it and he does like,
that's right.
He does VO on it. Sean during when I talk.
Yeah, I heard Harrison Ford.
Dickhead.
I was like,
fuck you. But see, here's the thing: is like Indy's line delivery in this, and I call him Indy. his line delivery in the trailer is god awful. Like, think of how bad the Deckard narration is from the really bad cut of Blade Runner,
right.
And this is worse. Like, the line delivery is bad.
Is he Harrison Ford in this, or is he Air Force One Harrison Ford? Get off my plane! Like, I know, but is he like...
He's Harrison Ford.
Al Pacino, Harrison Ford, or Harrison Ford?
He's Harrison Ford.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like... I hate when I say I feel like. I'm going to pirate the shit out of this movie. I will not see this movie in the theater.
I believe it. I was mistaking, by the way.
It's got Ben Kingsley in it, too.
For whatever reason...
With a tattoo face.
Oh, jeez. For whatever reason, I read Ender's Game, and I thought that Nick Cage was in it, and I realized the only reason Nick Cage has been on my mind recently is because he's in that, the religion movie, the Rapture movie.
Oh, Left Behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I'm so, really
Nick
bummed.
Cage,
I'm really, I saw the trailer for that, and I was really bummed out.
Nick, why?
Yo, instead of go seeing that movie, go on Netflix right now. Actually, pause the podcast as soon as I'm done with this tape. Go on Netflix and watch Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, starring Nicolas Cage. Holy shit.
That's his swan song.
It's Nicolas Cage in his absolute most Nicolas Cage-ness. Watch that. If you've never seen Lord of War, have you seen Lord
I've
of
seen
War?
Lord of War,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Yes, dude. Like, I love... It's no secret. I love Nicolas Cage.
No, we've established it. Him and Vin.
Well, no, it's a like Vin. I love unironically. Like, everybody thinks the way I love Vin Diesel movies is like, look, he's being so kitschy and hipstery.
But that's because they can see you.
Whatever. But like,
you just exude sarcasm. You know,
Nick Cage is that kind of ironic. Like, oh my god, he's going to do something just stupid, crazy.
He's
going to
be
wacky.
In Macbeth this week. You know, like.
Oh god, oh my god, Nick Cage on Broadway, oh my god, I want to see it. Nick Cage in Mamma Mia.
God.
Oh, Nick Cage as Daddy Warbucks in the Andy revival. My God. Nick Cage and Mary Poppins.
Nick Cage and Sister Act.
Nick Cage and Stomp. Nick Cage and the Blue Man Group. Oh my God. I'm going crazy right now. I'm so excited.
Every single one of these is going to be an image.
My ear is literally ringing right now. I just got so fucking excited. We should go on these hypothetical tangents more often.
Let's just do a hypothetical episode.
There's a couple of Tumblrs out there. There's Nick Cage X Pokemon, where this guy is just going through numerical order and putting Nick Cage's face on them. It just really works. Not all Pokemons have face.
Did you see that list I sent you with the? I know you've sworn off lists.
Oh yeah.
Nick Cage face.
I sent around the Nick Cage on Carly Rae Jepsen to my entire office. But, and then this guy also started Nick Cage X everything. So he's just putting Nick Cage's face on literally anything. It's amazing, it's all shitty. MS Paint art?
Right.
Oh, God. It's glorious. It's hipstery as hell, but it's fucking amazing.
I love the internet.
What the fuck were we even talking about?
We're talking about Ender's Game, but we're moving on.
Yeah.
So this is one...
Oh, fuck. I want to watch a Nick Cage movie right now.
This is a good one. I read this earlier today, and I was looking into it. So EA is now... they're no longer going to be paying for the rights to use the names of guns.
That's good.
In their games. It's not... Well, here's the thing. They're not going to not use the guns in their games.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to not pay the manufacturers anymore.
I think there is something weirder for me. That they pay that weird licensing fee. There was a thing on Polygon or something a couple months ago about that.
Well, here's the thing. So what they're doing, I mean, this is all in light of the, you know, the gun debate in the country right now. But, like, they're not doing it for the noblest of reasons. Like, they're doing it to save a buck. But by doing
this... Did they put that in their statement, or what's the deal?
If you took the first letter of every sentence and then restructured them...
I was going to say, like, you're welcome back to blah, blah, blah with Alex... What's his name? That guy that hosts that, like, crazy right-wing shit?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, you're welcome back to the Drudge Report, starring Fred Earhart.
But, so, what they're saying is that, you know, like, a book... Literature... does not have to pay rights to use, like, to say, like, Colt. Like, if they're talking about a Colt 45 or something like that. But games do. And what they're saying is that games are protected speech because of that, the Supreme Court ruling. And that they're protected as art. So they're now just going to refuse to pay the royalties. And if anyone could get away with it, it would be EA, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. We'll see. I think it's interesting that they're doing this just because, like, of all the fucking things to get into a fight with, it's the want to use gun names. But we'll see what happens. Here was another tidbit of news that came up today. Diablo 3. Remember that game?
I still never beat that.
Well, you may not now because so Diablo 3, they released a patch over the weekend or something like that, and someone immediately found an exploit in the patch and started duping gold and money in the marketplace. So apparently, like within a couple hours, the economy broke.
Hmm.
So now they shut down the marketplace, and they're saying that the people who abused it will be persecuted.
Prosecuted?
Maybe column A, column B.
Persecuted would mean that they didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, so prosecuted.
Okay.
Which is, of course, my reaction to this story is like, wow, people are still investing money in Diablo 3.
My reaction to this story, and like, you know, I was thinking about Diablo recently because of the horrible launch of SimCity.
SimCity, yeah.
And it's like, there's literally no reason that these companies did not make single... Like there's no reason they
always
couldn't,
on.
They couldn't make a single player active version,
right?
But you know, this sort of greed is what business is what propelled
right.
it and created a bad user experience as a result. And you know, I'm not really gonna get pissed at somebody that figures out an exploit. This reminds me of a story I read in Wired recently about this guy figured out an exploit for a video poker machine, right?
Right.
Didn't hack anything. Figured out an exploit. He's being tried. Like, is that fair? Like, if you figured out a way to beat the house, like, seems like you should be able to beat the house, right?
Like, yeah, but I mean, like, if you get on a roll in Vegas, they'll pull you over and they'll, like, look at security cameras.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no assumption that you can beat the house.
Yeah. So, you know, there, the argument is like, well, like you to acknowledge your role as a gambler, you have to accept the fact that you're fucked and that the house will
always
win. If you play long enough, the house will always win.
Yeah. In the short term, with gambling, in the short term, you can win, but in the long run, the house always wins.
So is this an exploit or a hack? Like, did
this
he
is
have
an exploit.
So nobody ran any additional code?
No, it was a process by which you listed something and then you pulled it in a certain way using in-game tools.
I don't know. I'm, like, of two minds. Like, part of me is like, fuck Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
But then again, like, I'm also just like, how much money can actually be... How much money... Like, they're claiming that money is going to be lost because of this. But how much money are they going to lose in Diablo 3 at this point? How many people are putting money into that? How many people are still playing?
I don't know. I think, like, probably a lot.
You think so?
Enough for them to keep doing it? Like, I don't know. Just because we're not doesn't mean that there isn't the hardcore of the hardcore doing it.
You know, Blizzard's
just keep in mind,
a weird,
like,
spot right now.
How so?
They announced earlier today as well, World of Warcraft down 1 million players.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I think, well, I mean, that's what it says. Like, the game's on its way out.
8 million players.
No, it was like 7 million or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
but you know how many players they have? 14 times what is in any MMO.
Yeah, no,
the next one down is probably... Well, realistically, Old Republic probably has 800,000. EVE Online has 500,000.
What about League of Legends? I mean, do we not?
That's
count
not an
that?
MMO.
We're not counting that. It's just a.
It's not online. An MMO. I don't fucking want MOBA.
Dota like
MOBA. That is the first time the word MOBA has been said on the show, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Really?
When I was playing Awesome Nauts, you said it.
Oh,
that's how I learned the word.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember our old shows. I don't listen when we record.
So, anyway, the last piece of hype we have on the list, John, the World's End trailer.
The fuck
came
is this?
Out. This is the third Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie.
What's it about?
So it's in the same vein as Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
And it's
Wait. What about the Alien in the Desert movie? Seth Rogen.
I didn't see that one.
So it doesn't count as part of.
So
it doesn't there, count. It doesn't exist.
The director,
because you didn't
the director Edgar Wright had a trilogy in mind, which were Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and this movie, and all of them were playing off of tropes from other ones. They
and
all
Scott
had the
Pilgrim.
Same. No, but they all had the same actors in the movie, and they were all connected by the fact that he calls it the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy. They're all fairly gory movies. They're all fairly over the top, and all of them have a scene where someone is eating a very specific brand of ice cream cone.
What's this one about?
So this group of five friends, when they were younger, decided to do a pub crawl where they would go to 12 pubs in a night, drink 12 beers each from each pub, and then and that would be their night. So they failed when they were kids.
So 144 beers.
No, not each. They would drink one. Each would drink one beer at 12 pubs, so 60 beers.
Each person would drink 12 beers.
Five people each drinking 12 beers.
That is not a lot of beer.
It's not a lot of beer, but they were like teens when they tried to do it and they failed. So they decide to get together again and do it. Like they're older and they do it and they go. It's in this village, and from what the trailer shows you, like they go to the village and everything's like a little weird, and then it turns out to be like an invasion of the Body Snatchers village.
Oh man, I want a Goonies sequel.
Anyway, the trailer definitely had some moments, and like Edgar Wright has not put out anything bad. Period. He's not put out anything bad.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, I did too. And Shaun of the Dead's one of my favorite movies of all time. So definitely looking forward to this one. The trailer is definitely a lot of fun too.
Cool. I'll have to check it out.
John, is it about that time?
Yeah, let's come back with Game Club.
All right.
You tell me another and I'll rescue myself. That is a promise, Miss...
Rose, sister Rose.
Of course. Another plan.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
John, in honor of this game club, I've prepared an intro.
Wait, you didn't play it already?
No, we're playing it right now.
Time to bring the pain.
We've decided on a Game Club game.
Something I think we've put off for far too long.
The Game Club of Men
is Duke. Nukem. Forever.
Get some. These guys don't stand a chance.
Wait, right now? It just happened.
It just happened.
That just happened. That was rad.
Thank you, John.
God, so hard right now.
So, we're here in Game Club. What is Game Club?
Game Club, Fred, is where we play a game together. We play the same game, separate but apart. Together but apart of separately. We play the same game, and then we talk about it critically. About like it. A book club, but like for...
But games.
But for games.
And we picked... if this was
really,
a book...
Oh my god, I just realized, and I'm sorry. How the fuck did we not do an N64 themed episode?
I don't know.
Fuck me. Ah, God, Ultra 64. Well, I figured, you know, we have the intro. You have the intro sound right now.
I do.
Ultra 64. Yeah. You're cutting all this out, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Fuck you! I would leave this in.
John, if this was a book, what would it be?
Like, a late 80s penthouse, maybe?
Like a highlight for kids with porn tucked into it?
No, actually, you know what? It's a pen... No.
Penthouse Forum?
It's like if Maxim existed in the late 70s.
Like if Maxim and Guns and Ammo had a time-traveling child.
And there's hardcore pornography in it. Okay. I don't know. It's bad.
So we're playing the Duke.
That's not even a book. That's a magazine.
No. We're playing Duke Nukem Forever. Yeah. I'm playing it on the LPCO.
LPCO? You're playing it on the personal computer.
Yes, I am playing it on my PC.
I'm playing it on Xbox 360.
How's that working out for you?
It's fine.
Yeah?
I mean, like...
I got some news for you. It doesn't look very good on my computer.
It doesn't look good on my fucking TV. No. Like, it looks bad. It's okay, texture pop. Let me tell you about texture pop. I've gotten used to it. Like, usually half second, you're like, you know, it comes in.
Right.
I had a full 30 seconds.
Oh, same here.
Like, just fucking 3D models with weird colors and no fucking textures.
Just blobs of color with no textures. Yeah. I had the same thing happen, and I was like, this has taken an exceptionally long time.
Let's go. I don't know. What do we want to fucking do here? I don't fucking know.
Well, I want to get this out of the way first. The game itself is not as bad as I thought it would be based on what everyone said. It's not unplayable. Like, the game engine itself and all that, it's like a B-level game.
Yeah. It's not the worst game in the
world. It's not like... I have a feeling Aliens Colonial Marine, from a gameplay perspective...
Available $10 now on GameFly.
I have a feeling it's absolutely horrible compared to this. Like,
I played the first hour of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same bad.
This game reminded me a little bit of Metro 2033 in the clunkiness of the animations and the way the characters sort of...
Metro, it works for, though. It makes sense. Like, it's Eastern European. This was built in America over the course of, like...
12 years.
As Duke points out, 12 years. Better fucking Bob be good, but...
So
I'm an asshole.
Yeah, let's...
I hate my father.
Let's talk
oh, my
about,
God.
Let's talk
Come
about the...
get some.
Let's talk about
issues.
The titular character of the title.
Oh, titular?
Titular.
Hey, did you slap the wall titties?
No.
In level 8, the Hive, did you see the booby things on the walls?
Yeah.
You could slap them and get an ego boost. I hate this game.
I kind of hate this game, too.
I hate this
game. It's
like
a poor man's heavy metal.
I hate it so much. Like, I fucking violently dislike this game. It is so fucking horrible. Like...
It's such puerile and juvenile humor, like to the point where
fucking
like
glued
even
together, and it's not like a B movie bad. It's just like bad.
It's cringeworthy, right? Most of the moments are cringeable. There's so many jokes and so many references that are just thrown into the game just for the sake of going titties.
Yeah,
you know, like like, why does the game open with Duke taking a piss?
Oh, they show, like, the fucking Halo armor. They're like, power armor's for pussies.
And it's not even, you know what's funny? It's the actual Halo armor. It's not even,
it's very similar.
Yeah.
There was another, oh, shit, there was a Gears of War reference.
Yeah.
It was, like, shitting on Gears of War. It's like, yo, like, straight up, George Brassard, you have about, man, I don't want to really kiss Cliffy B's ass, but compared to Cliffy B, like, you're Milli Vanilli. Like,
yeah,
you're fucking pathetic.
You know what's funny, the comparison there? This game, the mechanic of your ego being your health and how you regenerate health and all that, this is a cover-based shooter without a cover system.
Here, let me tell you something. So, that system, like, that ego, being...
Right.
Like, the health and shit, and then, you know, that's the shield, and that beats down, and then you can get health. So, here's why this game is terrible. If this game would have been sort of like Matt Hazard, you know, that, like, sort of send-up of games like this.
Right.
If Duke was navigating this world, and he was like, yeah, sure, he had done this stuff 12 years ago, and he had saved the world, and he'd been really cool. But he's, like, this pathetic loser now because he doesn't... He's, like, the high school quarterback who's now, like, trying to live the glory days.
Oh, he's Al Bundy.
Yeah. So if this was that game, like, he'd fallen off hard times, and, like, nobody fucking... You know, everybody thinks he's some weird fucking dinosaur, and nobody needs him anymore. And then this world-saving stuff happens, or if then this world-saving stuff happens, and then it's all fucking hallucination, or something like that. Like,
right.
And it turns out at the end that he was going through and just slaughtering innocent people all the time, and killing strippers and shit like that. Like, that would be an interesting game to play. And then, like, the ego... ego is the mechanic. Like, if his got bruised, like, say, because some fucking girl saw him on the street, and he's like, hey, shake it, baby, and she's like... You're a fucking dinosaur or something, and, like, then he got an ego, like his ego's reduced or something like that. Like, that would be interesting to play. But instead you go through and everybody's like, fuck yeah, Duke Nukem, all right, let me fucking suck your dick right now.
That's actually literal.
Yeah.
Like, there's a blowjob scene very early on in this game.
Yeah, as soon as the intro's over. Also, if you stood in front of a mirror and jumped, do that.
I know, you just sort of... Yeah,
it's so pasted together. And here's another thing that would have made this game enjoyable for me is, like, this artifact of horribleness, right?
Right.
Like, some sort of, like, special features, director's commentary, some sort of thing where they explain, like, how this development went like this. Like, I want a fucking book.
We want to see the movie more than we want to play the game,
yeah,
right?
I want director's commentary on this. I sent you a clip from the first Fast and Furious movie, which, you know, obviously I'm rewatching all those.
The fight scene.
Anticipation. So there's a fight scene very early, and Vince, who is a character who is a dumb bruiser dickhead, is trying to beat up Brian O'Connor, one of the main characters, because they like the same girl, right? So there's this horrible rap rock song playing, right? And then...
Oh, this is totally rap rock the game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So at some point, you know, so first of all, the dialogue in this movie, Vince at some point says, what is he, sandwich crazy? Which, by the way, awesome fucking dialogue right there. But then he says, you know, he's like, hey, why don't you go to fucking Fatburger next time? You get a double cheese with fries for $2.99, comma, hard F word. And not the word fuck, the F word we don't say on this show.
Right.
And like, that... And then they fight. That is this game. This game is essentially like a high school bully who you go back to your hometown and you see him at the bar and he tries to be a dick to you. But it's like, you're a fucking loser, bro. You're gonna drunk drive home from this bar tonight.
Yeah.
Like, this is that guy.
This game really is a drunk drive, isn't it?
This is the people I like. I don't know. I
want to talk about more technical pieces of this, though, because, like, here's the thing.
You don't
want to,
like, do a chapter-by-chapter breakdown of what happens in
No,
each chapter.
I don't think we need to do that just yet. Nothing too crazy has happened yet.
I like the weapons.
The weapons are fine. The enemies are absolutely stupid.
I like the bolt gun.
Yeah, I do like the bolt gun. I feel like the shotgun's a little overpowered.
I hate how mean they are to women.
They're mean to everyone, honestly, but...
Like, the women who are, like, alien cocooned, and that happened in the old Duke game.
Right.
But like, they're like crying, and like they're naked. It's really rapey and gross. And like,
isn't that what the aliens are doing? Effectively, aren't they?
But it's
implied that there's
they're all plastic like a and thing, huge but... tits, and it's just like.
Yeah.
It just feels really icky.
I mean, the other... here's the thing, and I know this is from the old Duke game as well, but, like, the aliens haven't gotten any better. You're still fighting... One of the aliens is called Pig Cop.
Yeah. Like, they're a little tougher.
Yeah, they are.
They charge at you.
It is... It's not by any means an easy game, mind you. Like, yeah. I found that it being a little bit taxing, and that mostly is because of the mechanics.
It's also really unpleasant.
It's really unpleasant. And then the other thing that drove me nuts was the voice acting. So John St. John is the voice actor again.
Fuck that guy, dude.
But here's the thing. Like, he never modulates his voice at all.
It's everything sounds like Sound Booth.
Everything sounds like the same. Like, whether you're running through a room that should have a ton of echo, or you're running, or you're fighting a monster, or you're in a very quiet area, Duke's voice and cadence is always exactly the same.
How about the remote control car thing? That was horrible.
That was really... It was really tough to control, and there was no reason for it.
Yeah.
Like, just, why did you get shrunk?
See, this is, like, the kind of stuff I want to know, is, like, what were they thinking? Like, why... What was the thought process behind this horrible, like, sequence? Like, the fucking turret sequence? That first turret sequence?
Oh, the boss fight one? The UFO one?
Yeah. Yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah,
there's just weird mechanics, like... The interactivity with the world, too, like...
Well, I'll give the game this much. You can interact with a ton of stuff in this game, and all of it is actually, like, almost all of it does stuff.
Yeah, but...
Which is something that's lacking from a lot of modern games.
It was really cool in 97 when they did that.
Right.
But now it feels like, well, you should kind of go all or nothing.
But, the interactions are a little hollow, too, because, like, some of the interactions are like, oh, I took a drink of water, or I took a piss... Like, they don't really add much.
Can you, like, picture a programmer, like, writing code for him to bend over and take a drink of water from a water fountain?
Yeah. With no in-game need.
It's so weird.
It's really... I don't know how they landed at the decisions they made.
Well, and, you know, it's let's get real. This game was canceled. And then Gearbox, like, brought in a bunch of people and put something that they could ship out.
Basically. And I just don't know, man. I mean, I would like to get the writer or whoever was in charge of writing this game into a room and just summarily execute them.
I bet there's a gang of fucking
self-loathing, reluctant to come out writers who don't want to admit they worked on this.
Dude, we've worked on bad projects before.
Oh, I know, but this one's pretty far up there.
God, even this picture of, like, the gun as a dick metaphor, like, oh my God.
Here's the other thing I realized about Duke Nukem, right? Like, listen, I'm no playboy, but, like, what fantasy is Duke Nukem? Like, because, like, in the game, like, guys want to be him, women are throwing themselves at him, right? And he gets everything he wants. Whose fantasy is like, a bulkier you?
Yeah, fuck this game.
Get some fingerless gloves, get a red shirt and some bandoliers, and then huge plastic women will throw themselves at you.
This stupid blonde hair. God, he's just so stupid looking. Anyway, I'm not mad at Gearbox about this. I think it's astounding that they could ship this.
Yeah. And then it made it out.
Yeah. That being said, like, I'm still mad at them for Aliens. So we're going to keep playing this. We're 8 chapters deep. We're going to play another 8 chapters.
Maybe it'll get better.
I won't hold out too much hope. And
I'm actually curious to see if the game keeps the same sort of tonality and the same sort of level of bullshit.
I think it will.
And then, like, how does it wrap it up?
I doubt.
Does it just sort of peter out at the end?
Probably, dude. So I'm not going to be here next week. And you still haven't decided what to do. So
we'll figure it out.
Now that it's on wax, you got to do something. But yeah. Well, 2 more weeks, folks. 2 more weeks of the Duke. Then we'll play some fucking awesome indie stuff.
We'll be right back with the outro.
Oh, shit, I'm recording.
Oh, good.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm glad you told me that.
Fuck, forget it. Welcome back. Time to say goodbye.
It is time to say goodbye.
Like I said before, I will not be here next week, Fred.
No, you're going out to the left coast, as they say.
Left side? I'm going back to one of my many hometowns. I'm going back to Seattle. So
you're not going back to Cali? You're not going back to Cali?
Cali is, I have no hometowns in Cali. I have hometowns in Washington, Oregon, New Jersey. I've been in New York for 5 years. I know the 10 years is like to say you're a New Yorker or whatever, but I've never lived anywhere for 10 years.
I feel like you're fine.
Thank you. Also,
I give you approval, sir.
Also, people who say that can fuck themselves. That feels like a Brian Pluta thing to say.
Very few people in New York right now have lived here for 10 years.
I don't know.
It's a transient city. It's like Vegas.
Yeah, well, shit. I was talking to some people in L.A. Nobody's from L.A.
No, no one's from L.A. Because it was uninhabitable.
Still yeah, is, dude, I've seen L.A. Confidential. Yeah. God damn, that's a good movie.
Anyway, so we're continuing Game Club next week with the Duke. We don't really have a community segment, do we?
Sure. Ed says, in response to us playing Duke Nukem, what did the cabin cost where you guys played this? I don't even understand what the fucking connotation of that is. Like, that we rented a cabin and went and had sex with each other while also playing this game, or that we had to escape society to play this game.
Maybe that's that feels like a joke from the game.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'll tell you one fucking thing, guys. Maybe. Oh, is that a Brokeback Mountain joke?
Could be. I've never
forget.
Seen it.
It's been a long time since. I told you. Have I talked that story on air? Like, the girl I was dating when we saw that movie?
No.
Like, so this is when I was living in Italy, and the girl I was seeing was, she was born in Romania, she was an Italian citizen, you know, she was a few years older than me, had been married before, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling too much back.
Europe.
Whatever. But she learned most of her English by watching movies, and we would watch probably a movie every night and then go to bed or whatever. I bought the DVD, or rented the DVD for Brokeback Mountain, one or the other, and I was like, you know what this is about, right? Like, you know, she's like, yeah. So we're watching the movie, and it's slow build, and about 40 minutes in, the first time gay sex happens, she goes, they're gay?
What did you think it was about?
I have no fucking clue. Like, it was a roller coaster that time of my life. But thanks for writing in, Ed. But yeah, I don't play this fucking game when my wife's around.
No, I'm headphones on, wife's in bed.
I would be more comfortable playing Catherine with my wife around.
I'd be more comfortable watching porn and jerking off in front of my wife than playing this game.
Thanks, guys.
Because at least then she knows what I'm doing.
I'm trying to think of some other stuff that I've played. Oh, Shadows of the Dam, I would play in front of her before I played this. Like, I play a lot of bad stuff, and I'm like, this is stupid, I know.
Yeah.
But this, it's like, God, it's just mean, too.
It's a little bit beyond the pale, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we gotta finish it.
So anyway, shout outs to our fellow podcasters, Perpetual Geek Machine.
Dude, just
we always fuck that up.
All gay, all the time. And now we are just, I think Gay Gamer already has a podcast, but we're the second most gay friendly podcast on the air.
So Perpetual Geek Machine and Cross Border Gaming, big ups.
Yeah, man.
And if you would like to participate in this show, if you'd like to be part of the Fantastic Neighborhood, you can email us at letters@fantasticneighborhood.com or call us on the hotline at 720-HOODIE-6.
At 720-555-1212.
You can also find us on Twitter. The show is at Fantastic Hood.
Fred is at Proto Addict.
And John is at Hey John Anderson.
That's a no H in John.
No H, no H, guys. No
like
H.
Like the other famous John lyric. Night Court.
Oh, God, we should do a Night Court episode.
Oh, God.
You can find
us. I watched so much of that show when I was a kid.
Oh, so did I. I love like, that show.
It was on USA.
He's a judge, but also a magician.
Magic is the worst.
You can find us on our website at www.fantasticneighborhood.com.
Who are you? I want to stab you.
And on Facebook at facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood.
Hey, check out my Tumblr, oregonjohn.tumblr.com. I don't fucking know, man.
There are some other websites while we're at it.
You know, check out my portfolio site.
Make is I've had Brussels sprouts for the past 2 days in a row now.
Yeah,
that's been a mistake.
No,
and I had the kale salad. That's like the big one.
When your pee smells like that, that means you're healthy.
Every second here makes my heart beat faster.
Top. You want me to talk loud?
Let me get your top end!
This is me talking loud. Birdman! Can I tell you the best part of our lunch yesterday when we went to this place was we went with an old coworker, Corey.
Yeah, I know.
And we found a stoop where we work, and we sat down and we started eating. And this dude walks by with his little tall, like sort of very metro, big hair, probably gay guy. Like,
you fucking bigot.
I say that because he was talking to his boyfriend on the phone.
Yeah, say like you could just say, "Hey, this gay guy."
I just want
to.
Wanna...
You don't have to. No. You don't have to say this gay guy. You could say this guy who is very like pretty or something. If he was a very pretty guy.
Well, I
want
to draw the New York metro picture here. Does that make sense?
I feel
sense?
Like metrosexual is like. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know a proper
you
way
could just
to say
like
this,
a
but
dumb,
like
a done up
tall,
guy,
tall, skinny jeans, tight flannel, well kept, big hair. You know how the big haircut is in now with the big, like, sides are short, but just fucking up there hair?
Sure.
Anyway, so he's walking. He's probably, like, 6 foot.
We are really bad. I said I would do a structured choke. Go ahead.
He's 6 foot tall or so, and he's walking.
He sounds fucking hot.
He's walking a chihuahua.
Was he really good looking?
No, not at all.
Really?
But he's walking a chihuahua and talking on the phone, and the chihuahua stops in front of us and takes a huge gun.
for a chihuahua, and then, relative to its size.
And then this dude panics because he realizes
he doesn't have a bag.
He doesn't have a bag.
Tell me, one of you guys gave him a bag?
We didn't have. They didn't give me bags.
They gave you paper bags.
No, they didn't give it to us. They just gave us the trays.
Oh, they usually put in paper bags on the
and
one.
So he didn't have a bag. He runs over to, like, a planter with a tree in it, picks up a single leaf, and starts rolling the poop into the street. And one of the guys we were with waited.
How did you... Are you familiar with a little thing called Vine?
Because this
would be the most popular Vine on the internet.
So very, very daintily and very carefully starts rolling this poop into the street. And the guy I was with waits until he's just finished, and he puts the leaf down and goes, "Hey, you're supposed to pick up after your dog."